thank you very much for joining us here this evening. Nice to see a nice number out. And I'm happy to open for my brother in Christ and my friend Steve McCandless, Ian's dad. Many years ago, we were to a conference in Ontario, and Steve and Heidi didn't know us at all. And they had us stay at our house, and they haven't been able to get rid of us since. We became very good friends, and may not have become friends if we'd known it was going to lead to Ian coming. No, yes, we would have. So here we are, one big happy family. So thank you very much for joining us tonight for the gospel meeting. Remember the meetings of the week, weather permitting, Lord willing, tomorrow night, the youth group here. On Thursday evening will be prayer meeting and Bible study. And then the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. And then we invite you again here next Sunday evening for the preaching of the gospel. Before we open the Bible and read from it, we're going to speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are delighted. We are actually amazed to think that the mighty God of heaven, the sovereign of the universe, would willingly give his sinless, his wonderful Son. And tonight we can preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, that he came into the world to save sinners. And so we would pray that help would be given as we present the gospel here tonight. Give us the words that should be spoken. We would pray that there be attentiveness, and that even the Spirit of God would be at work in this meeting. So we'd commit this meeting to thy care and give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read three questions. We live in a world of questions. Look around. If you have never questioned, well, you have every reason to question now when you see some of the things that are taking place. If you have questions, we can give you many biblical-based, Bible-based questions about some of the events. We were talking on Thursday, I was at work, a sales guy was in, and we were just talking about some of the current events, and I probably should have went further than what I did, but there's lots of questions. When I look at the events of the world, it really points to the importance of the message that God has given in his word. Now, I'm not going to go into future events tonight. That's not what I'm thinking about. But if you're wondering, if you look at, you say, the chaos, what's it all about? God has a program. And yes, when we look ahead, there is a time of woe and judgment that is coming. There's a judgment that is coming in this world. There's a judgment that you personally face because of your sin. First part of the meeting, I want to preach, however you want to put it, about how you can be delivered. So we're going to read three questions. The first one is in Luke chapter 13. And so now I've got to find it. Yes, here we are. Luke chapter 13, verse number 23. The Lord Jesus, he is traveling, and it says that he is teaching. Other places says that he is preaching. He had a simple message. It was to repent and believe the gospel, and it's the same message today. We were talking about it in our Bible class today, what it is to repent. It is really understand what God says about me, and that he is right, I am wrong, and I change my mind and agree with God. And so as he is traveling and teaching, there is a man, there's one that comes, and here's what he says. Then said one unto him, Lord, Are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? And the Lord answers him, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Are there few that be saved? That is a trivial question. I'll come back to that. A trivial question. We're going to go to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read an impossible question. Here again, the Lord Jesus, he is talking, and a religious man comes up to him and he says, Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? How can I get this? What can I do to get this thing you're talking about? The Lord asks him a question and he says, well, I've been honest. I've kept the law. The Lord says, okay, if you're really serious about it, put your money where your mouth is. If you're willing to do that, take your money and give to the poor. And it says that he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. He wasn't all that serious. And people that were listening, here's what they say, verse 26. The Lord says, it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Here's the impossible question. And they said, they that heard it said, who can be saved? Who can be saved? So the first question, are there few that be saved? The second question, who can be saved? We're going to read one more question in Acts chapter 16. Here is a desperate question. Here is an earnest question. This is a serious question. Here's the story. Here's the background. We're not going to take the time to read it. Paul and Silas, two gospel preachers, they've been thrown into jail because of preaching the gospel. And they're put into the safest part of the prison. And instead of calling out insults and yelling at the jailer, these two preachers, they start to sing. David and Angela and Wendy and I, we were in Rome and we visited a little prison. And supposedly Peter and Paul at one time, if they weren't in that one, they were in one like it. And it was just a little hole in the ground. It was dark and it was damp. And it would be hard to do, but it says that they sang and they prayed and the prisoners heard them. And the jailer must have too. And at midnight, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, in the dark part of the night, there was an earthquake and everything shook. And that prison began to shake. And the bands and the places where the prisoners were and the doors, everything broke loose. And the jailer, he feared that his prisoners had got away and he was going to take his life because if prisoners got away, he was as good as dead anyway. And all of a sudden he hears the voice of the preachers, don't harm yourself, we're all here. And the jailer, it says that he came trembling and listened to what he says. Verse 29, Acts chapter 16, verse 29. He called for a light, he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So a trivial question, an impossible question, and an earnest question, an important question, a trivial question. I don't think this first individual was really all that serious. This was a question that you and I hear every day. How's the weather outside? You know what's going to go on tomorrow? Facebook on Road Conditions PEI is going to say, how are the roads from Alberton to Summerside? Really, questions that really don't matter, because if we just jumped in, if we hit to go, we're going to go anyway. Or you might be out in the Enmore River in the smelt shack, and it's been years since I did that, and somebody might say, are you catching any fish? Had a guy ask me the other day, you buying any cars? Well, that really wasn't a trivial question, because he ended up buying one. But a lot of times we ask questions and they really aren't important. And I don't think this person was really concerned about being saved. If he was really concerned about being saved, he wouldn't have said, are there lots of people being saved at the Gospel Hall? You know, sometimes that's what happened. People go, I see lots of cars in at the Gospel Hall. You must be doing something right there. You know, had that question been serious, it would have been a question, this salvation, how can I get it? And maybe you're here, maybe more out of curiosity. What is it that you're speaking about? You know what the Lord Jesus, what I was impressed about when I was thinking about this question? Instead of answering the man according to his question, he said, are there many being saved? He could have got the answer in Matthew. And the Lord says, there's few that are saved. You know what the Lord Jesus stressed in this question? And it's the same answer that we would give you tonight. It's not, are there many being saved? But it's a question for you. Notice the words of the Lord Jesus. You're wondering, are there many being saved? Is this a popular gospel? No, it's not a popular gospel. But you know what the Lord Jesus says? When it comes to salvation, you strive to enter in. When it comes to this salvation that God talks about, this is something that is of absolute importance. This is something that you make every effort. You make sure everything is out of the way. Lord Jesus says to that person, you strive to enter in. You make sure you don't miss it. You know what the Lord Jesus says here? You're asking this question, there are many that are saved. What the Lord Jesus said to them, I'm going to say to you tonight, that if you don't make this top priority, you know what the Lord Jesus says? There's going to come a day when you're going to want it, and the opportunity is going to be gone. The Lord Jesus says, the day is coming when the door is going to be closed. When the Master rises up, when the Lord comes, the day of opportunity is going to close. And here in 2026, if you don't, it's not a word that we use a lot, if you don't strive, if you don't make it the most important thing, you are going to miss God's salvation. Salvation to you, is it just a, yeah, just, it'd be nice to have, is it just a trivial thing? Yes, what they're preaching is likely true, but it's just not for me right now. The Lord Jesus says, strive to enter in. Are there few that be saved? That's not the right question. The second question, who can be saved? It must have been something for that audience to hear, and the Lord Jesus is talking about being saved, and then he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It is easier for something large to go through something small than for a rich person to be saved. And they asked a good question. Who can be saved? I wonder if you have ever asked that question. Well, who can be saved? Can anybody be saved? Surely there's people that are too wicked that they don't deserve to be saved. Well, you know what? None of us deserve to be saved. Not a one of us. You know that because of our sin, Isaiah chapter 59 says that there is a separation. Our sins have caused a separation between us and God. So this was a good question. Who can be saved? You know, if it was up to you, if it was up to me, the answer would be, it's not possible. For me to get to heaven on my own by something that I do, by a way that I live, by some sacrifice, by some great deed, it is impossible. Who can be saved? You know, for every one of these questions, there is an answer in the Bible. You know what the Bible says? That there is provision for all. The gospel that we preach, it can go through the whole world. I've said it before. I've preached the gospel in Singapore. I've preached it in the Philippines, in Rose's house. I've preached it in El Salvador. I've preached it in the U.S. Now, I'm not saying that I'm some big preacher. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that I can take this message, and wherever I go in this world, it is the same message. That there is a provision for every person. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever," who can be saved? Whoever puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I told Steve I was going to get down early. I'm not going to get down early, I guess. The last question. A desperate question. How do I know it's a desperate question? Because I was there. I wasn't in the jail. But I was in my sins. And here's a man as he comes face to face and he understands, I am a sinner. What these men are talking about, I don't have and I need it. You know what the best question you could ask? It's a question that I asked 38 years ago almost. Oh God, how can I be saved? That's what this man was asking. How can I be saved? 2 weeks ago, Rose was trying to get a hold of me, and I was driving, and I saw that I missed a call, and I texted her back, and I said, I don't have good reception. The weather wasn't good, but she wasn't calling to ask me about the weather. She was asking for help. Well, it wasn't for her, but Simon and Jocelyn, they had went off the road. And she called to me. There was other people she could have called, I suppose, but I was the closest, she thought. And she called for an answer. Now, what do you suppose I did? Well, of course, I responded, and I did what was necessary to help Simon and Jocelyn out of the ditch. Tonight, you have a far more serious thing than being in a ditch. You are facing judgment for sin. You are facing a meeting that is inevitable. Someday you will meet God. And if it's in your sins, it's eternal judgment. It is hell. But tonight, you could be assured that when you meet God, you can meet Him with your sins forgiven. That's why we sang that. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. And this man, he calls out in his desperation, how can I be saved? How can I have this eternal life? You know what? If they just said, crawl on your hands and knees to Jerusalem, which was thousands of kilometers away, he would have did it. But God is not asking you to do some great thing. You know what the answer was? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Likely what he heard them sing about was about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this earth. That really happened. That is something that took place just a little over 2,000 years ago. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into this earth. And the day came when he was nails through his hands and through his feet to an old wooden cross. And in the suffering and shame of that day, it wasn't so much about what men did to him, but the Bible tells us that on him was laid the punishment that you deserve and that I deserve. You know that your sins deserve death. They do deserve punishment, but really they deserve death. You know what God did? God said, here is my Son. I am going to give him. He will die in the place of the sinner. He is going to bear the judgment of the ungodly. And whoever looks to him for mercy, I am going to give salvation. The desperate question, how can I be saved? Believe, rest on, accept the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What took place at Calvary? God says what took place there is enough to take any person to heaven. It is enough to wash away any sin. Oh, it'd be wonderful if tonight someone would, and in your heart, you would cry this. It was about 10:30 at night. I wasn't really even looking at these, but I must have thought of the words, and I remember thinking, oh God, how can I be saved? The answer, it came, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understood in that moment that when the Lord Jesus was wounded on the cross, when he cried, it is finished, he had completed what was necessary to take away my sins. The question for you tonight, how can I be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too can be saved.